Welcome to the SEO Insider with your host, Seth Price, founder of Blue Shark, taking you inside the world of legal marketing and all things digital.
We're thrilled to have Braden Pollock here today, a serial entrepreneur, a person who has been a legend in the legal marketing space and is always up to new things. He, to many of you, is known as one of the nation, if not the world's top domainers. Braden, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. But my first question to you is, who is we? You said we are thrilled. And I only see you sitting there in the forest.
You see me, and I am doing this on behalf of Blue Shark Digital, our digital agency, which has 50 plus team members and hundreds of happy lawyers that we have scaled from when you knew me as just a law firm owner at Price Benowitz, right. Spun out our internal team to a group that has just built something remarkable and special, and love to have some time to catch up with you about it today.
It's a good thing we're all wearing blue to represent.
It was a paid endorsement. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's true. I have known you for a really long time. I think you were still in diapers.
Exactly.
It's been a really long time. 15 years, maybe.
I'm sorry.
How long has it been? 12, 15 years.
Well, so we've known each other, absolutely. Yeah. I was sitting in your conference room in LA when I have a piece of paper that I circled that said, better figure out SEO. And, appreciated what you and Bubba Head had put together in the DUI space and realized that if I wanted to get serious about scaling a law firm, that I was going to have to figure this out for myself, and went off to sort of the back alleys of Vegas and PubCon and other places to sort of learn how people were doing it right and not right, and charting a path through those waters that scaled Price Benowitz to a 40 lawyer firm. And I know you've done remarkable stuff at the Bloom firm, and tried to now leverage and help other lawyers, as I know you have through Legal Brand Marketing and Lead Gen. A lot of law firms owe you a lot for how they've scaled over the years. I wanted to start with domaining, though. That's sort of one of those areas that you were ahead of the curve on, and speak internationally on. Wanted to get one of those things. So for many of us who are not domainers, our idea of domaining is getting on GoDaddy late night and buying a bunch of names we think may at some point be useful for us. Talk to me about your journey with that, and ways that you see that investing in domains and or leveraging them for your own properties may be something that entrepreneurs should be thinking about.
Yeah. So first I would say, for all of those that get on GoDaddy with a glass of wine and start registering a bunch of names, stop doing that, because those are crappy names. It might seem like a good idea at the time, particularly after a glass or two of wine, but the fact that they are still available means they're probably not worth much. Just because they've got the keywords that are appropriate for your firm in mixed up order, .org with dashes and what have you, that does not make for a good domain. You're better off taking all the money that you would spend on those 15 decent, you think are decent names, and just buy one good name on the aftermarket. There are lots of people like me that have been doing this for a long time. I've been buying domain names for, investing in domain names for 15 years, 16 years. And there's people that came before me. This is a 35-year-old game. Those names are available. They're for sale, and they might be more than you expected, maybe, but they're out there and they're better. The better names are being held by investors oftentimes.
What is the advantage, would you say, of the what you're calling a better name over a name that has a defect in it, a dash and or a .net versus .com, et cetera?
Good question. So in general, people will default to .com, right? So if you have a .net, .org, .co, .io, et cetera, there are literally 1,500 extensions. if you have something other than .com, and let's assume that everybody here is a lawyer representing law firms here, because there are some categories where other extensions are appropriate. So in gaming, they use .gg. In tech, they use .io. Venture capitalists use .bc. There's .ai, which has applications. So there are other applications, but for law firms, .com. We're talking about kind of the general consumer, and .com is king. If you have something other than .com, there's a good chance that when people remember your domain, they will remember .com versus your .net or .co, which means that they will end up on the wrong website, but more importantly, they will screw up your email address. And so that email, and maybe that's an initial contact, right? That would go somewhere else or nowhere. And then you have not responded to them because you didn't get it. And then they move on to the next potential lawyer for that, right? So that's the biggest problem with having a non.com. That said, it just depends. If you want a high value keyword domain that's expensive or unavailable, then don't go beyond net and org. At least for a lawyer, I don't think you should go beyond that to any of the other extensions. I don't think it's worth it. There's .law and there's .legal and .esquire and
you were involved with a lot of that early on. Looking at it today, what is your advice to somebody who's like, hey, can I go with the .legal, .law, .esquire?
Look, I'm of two minds. I think eventually there will be some mind share and there'll be some adoption and people will understand what they are. Most people today just don't recognize that there's anything other than .com, .net, and .org. Right? They just don't know it exists. They don't know there's a .guru and a .club and a .law. I bought some .lawyers and .attorneys and I have some high value ones and they have sold. There's some six-figure sales in .lawyer and .attorney. It's decent. It's a decent name, but understand that there will be some confusion on the part of your clients and potential clients. In a few years, there'll be some more adoption and people will understand a little bit better. Today, there's still a little bit of a learning curve. So you just need to keep that in mind. But if you want bankruptcy.com, you're going to spend
real money,
six figures. If you want bankruptcy.lawyer, you're still probably going to spend six figures, but it might be available versus not being available at all. It's not as good. Right.
Understood. Have you seen stuff as an SEO snob? I've always sort of like, until I could see that those other those other nomenclatures ranking, I've sort of said, hey, I know .coms work, .nets, but I have not seen people crush it. With time and expense, have you seen people take those, or are those usually vanity URLs where you just haven't seen people put equal effort into ranking those in competitive spaces?
They still rank. You know, Google, my understanding, and I'll preface this with, I'm not an SEO expert. Right. Domain expert, yes. SEO, no. I certainly know enough about it to get myself into trouble, but not an expert. My understanding from what I've read by the SEO guys that have tested is Google ranks them just as well. They are at the very least, they are neutral. The extension is neutral, with the exception of some of these other country code. Top level domains. So that's a different story. But com, net, org, guru, law, lawyer, at least they're neutral. But best case scenario is they will look at the value of the keyword. So if it's bankruptcy.horse, right, that doesn't make any sense, right? So my understanding is they do they do apply some value as it relates to the definition and the category, because it is a keyword, right? It's just to the right of the dot, but it is a right. keyword. That's the value of those names. So you could have, you know, bankruptcy.lawyer as opposed to bankruptcylawyer.com.
Which... No, and that was going to be my next question. So the difference there, obviously bankruptcy.com is going to be a very, very valuable URL. And when you get to lawyer, you have lawyer, attorney, singular, plural, you have some options that you can go with. But the idea of using a dot lawyer so that you can have something truncated where you can use your brand with lawyer and pick things up. You know, part of it was, and again, there was a lot of fanfare when it came out and a lot of joint ventures that were going down. But it was too early to tell, and that, you know, age of domain means so much in the search history that it was, you know, I was always squeamish that until I knew that it genuinely was a level playing field, that I was nervous about paying a premium for something with that, you know, rather than finding a creative.com, even if it wasn't as, you know, that there was a, you know, it was in less risk in the sense that you knew that it was going to be able to be rankable versus you assumed it would. There's no reason it wouldn't be, but that was always that, you know, it sounds like there's been enough data in those intervening years that you're comfortable now that there, you would, what would you go for if money was not there? The dot lawyer with a tighter name or the slightly longer dot com?
Today, I would choose the slightly longer dot com because of confusion, right? Confusion means leakage of traffic, leakage of email. But in the future, that will hopefully change. I think that they'll both get ranked the same by Google. Shorter the better. The caveat being the potential confusion. So is dot law better than dot lawyer because it's shorter? Yeah, I don't know. You know, dot lawyer has sold better as far as the last time I checked. So there's a preference. I mean, I've talked to people and, you know, they want one over the other and they don't care what the data is. At the end of the day, I think that domains are budget driven. And I think that you should buy the best domain that you can afford and maybe even stretch a little bit, buy the domain that you can't quite afford, right? And grow into it, because what you spend on the domain today is going to save you in the future, right? It's going to be more memorable. It's going to be more targeted. It's going to be, it's probably going to rank a little bit better depending on what you're getting. And you know, you really want a good, memorable brand. And the fact is that, particularly as it relates to law firms, the name that you don't buy today is going to be purchased by your competitor.
You know, one of the things that, you know, there are a lot of different ways to make a buck or save. Some people like saving and trading cards. Some people might want 800 numbers. You know, understanding you look at this as an investment. If somebody is looking to dip their toe in, how would you advise somebody to look at the market of what has, you know, where you would see potential opportunity for increased value over time? Where would you be investing today based on the market?
I didn't think you were going to ask me that question. This is what I normally talk about, just not in the domain investment community, right. not with law firms. I would say start with, if we're still talking to lawyers, buy a name that you can utilize, right? Because it is an asset. While you will probably take that domain and depreciate it down to zero and write the whole thing off as a marketing expense, fine, but you do own an asset that has value. So if you own bankruptcy.lawyer or bankruptcylawyer.com or, dcbankruptcylawyer.com, any of those, they can be resold. And I know this because I've sold thousands of legal names, right, over the years. So they definitely have value. So you can, at some point, if you move out of that practice area or retire, what have you, you have this asset that you can now sell. Now, if it's your name dash lawfirm.com, it probably has no value, with the exception of, going back to SEO, the exception of, you know, the SEO value of your domain and website, right? It might have some link juice, but that is probably minimal, right? But if you want to invest in a name that you're going to be utilizing, right? So you get to monetize it while you own it, and then you can sell it off later when you're done with it. That would be my suggestion. Now, if you're talking about just
in general, you know, the sky's the limit.
Just investing in domain names, there is a fairly substantial learning curve as it relates to domain investing, just like, you know, anything else. Like, I couldn't go and buy, you know, Fabergé eggs, you know, because I don't know, or Pokemon cards that are literally selling for $350,000. I haven't the slightest idea what makes a Pokemon card worth $350,000, right? But people are doing it.
Yeah, ask my 12-year-old. I'm sure he could tell you.
Maybe. But other than saying, well, it shouldn't have bent corners or fingerprints on it or what have you, I know nothing about it. So there's a learning curve. Now, we do have a resource called dnacademy.com, DN like domain name, dnacademy.com, which is extremely robust domain investment lesson plan. And it covers everything from how to register a name, how to value a name, how to find buyers and do outbound marketing, and you name it. It covers everything. It's a pretty long course. It's like $500. It's pretty inexpensive and well worth it, because it's hours and hours and hours of, I mean, it takes you weeks to go through the thing. So that would be the first thing. First thing is, don't register a bunch of domain names late at night on GoDaddy with a glass of wine. The second thing is, sign up for dnacademy.com, which I have no connection to at all. I mean, I know the guy that built it, but I don't have any financial stake in it. That would be the next thing.
Putting on the SEO hat for a moment, one of the older sort of strategies that isn't talked about as much, but I'm sure is still out there, is the expired domain, or buying a domain with SEO value. Is that a world that you've played in it or advise people in? Because, you know, Google's not stupid. They know that when something gets back to a registrar, that it's a new owner. There's always been a big pop if you do have a great link portfolio, and it's hit or miss. Sometimes it works great, and if you build it back with similar work, or you know, the old story of backfilling it with the content from the Way Back Machine. What do you see working today in that space?
So there are a couple of good, yes, there are a lot of investors that are focused on SEO domains that expire. So you're not going to accidentally stumble across one, because there are people that have written scripts that are looking for these things that, as soon as they pop up, you know, they're already acquiring them. Your best bet is to go to a site like SEO.domains, for example. And I think SEODomains.com is another one. I'm not sure exactly the address, but they have SEO domains listed by category. So you just click down to legal, and you can buy. I just recently bought one myself that was an old MAD site, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and pointed it to, you know, an appropriate DUI page, and it was inexpensive. It was I don't remember, like $169 or something, and it had, you know, it was obviously, it wasn't a super valuable domain, but it had some, I think, a few dozen backlinks that were alcohol and DUI related. So it was worthwhile for us, and it was certainly cheap enough. But something to keep in mind, particularly if you're spending thousands of dollars on one of these that has hundreds of thousands of backlinks, that you should probably build it. So if you only redirect it, you'll eventually lose those links as the linking sites clean up the broken links, right? So, you know, anybody that's maintaining their site is going to clean them out. You probably provide this advice to your customers, right? You know, you kill bad links. And so if you're redirecting, it is a bad link coming from that site from their perspective. So eventually a lot of those will get cleaned up. Not all of them, some will stay on forever. But if you can rebuild the site, then those links will probably stay. And so you'll get a little bit more juice out of it that way.
Or hold on for it longer. What about from the point of view of making sure like that you get the most out of it? Yes, rebuilding it. But are there any techniques that you've used where it, you know, you can get stuff even before it is fully aged out and clearly a new owner of the site? Are there any techniques you use to get those sites earlier in the cycle to give you a better shot at better SEO juice and not being sort of looked at by Google as somebody who acquired it in an older domain?
I see. No, I mean, look, the fact is that once the domain transfers ownership, Google's going to see that. It still maintains those links, though.
Right.
And the sooner you develop that site, the more likely you're going to keep those links, or at least a majority of them. And the closer the site is to what it used to be, which you can look it up. Now, I'm not suggesting that you copy, you know, pixel by pixel the previous website, because then you run into some issues with the previous owner. But if you can make a very similar site to what was there, and you can look in archive.org and see what used to be there, if you can kind of recreate it, of course, not a copy, but recreate something similar, then the chances are you're going to keep a lot of those links. And the sooner, the better.
You know, has it stayed consistent, or has Google got any tighter at identifying when something is not, like, have you seen any trends with that? Or has it just been basically, if you're staying in the same subject matter area, you'll continue to see some love, but if you sort of take something completely out of its original element, that it's less likely? Any sort of, you know, generalizations that you can see, having been in that space and watched people transfer domains over the years?
I don't do this.
Understood. I'm just asking from a guy from, you know, 10,000 feet looking down.
And I'm not studying this. So if there's some recent change in Google.
Understood. I was talking about generally over time.
Don't put me on the spot, Seth. look, my understanding is that the sooner you do it and the closer the site is to what used to be there, the better off you'll be, and that you're not getting penalized. There is a change of ownership that has some effect, is my understanding, but not a massive effect. And unless you're spending tens of thousands of dollars, it's, you know, you're not taking a massive risk, right? Awesome. It's just something to consider. But look, the fact is, if you buy an aged domain that has link juice and you build a legitimate site and add content over time, right, continue to add content and continue building links, you're going to be good. You have a head start. And that's better than starting from scratch with a fresh domain and, you know, a fresh everything, you know, with no links. You're better off building off something that used to be there.
And it sounds like you walk the talk. I mean, you've done this with a number of different properties historically for and built entire businesses out on them, which is pretty cool to watch. You know, wanted to get your thoughts. You know, you're probably one of the last remaining independent significant players in the lead gen space, and want to just talk to you a little bit about that and where you see lead gen now, and your thoughts on that industry, because it's come a long way. You know, there was a point when you could, you know, just throw a site up and all of a sudden you were getting viable leads. You know, your take on the lead gen space today.
Yeah, it's funny because when I started 16 years ago and we were only doing DUI back then, you know, we would talk to lawyers and you know, they would say, what do I need a website for? Right. I mean, literally that was a question we got all the time, and no one, I mean, it's probably been years since anyone's even uttered those words, right? Because everybody knows why you need a website. And the funny thing is that we weren't even offering them a website. It was our website, and it was at the time cooperative advertising pre-lead gen. It wasn't even, you know, the bar, all the state bars wouldn't allow lead gen. We couldn't sell leads because they considered capping, it was fee splitting. And then, you know, then Google was selling clicks, right? And eventually, you know, we had this big lawsuit with, I think, like 22 state bars or something.
You know about the total attorney suit?
Yeah. But I mean, I contributed, and, you know, a bunch of us contributed to the defense, and we won. And because we said, look, we don't have any stake in the outcome, right? You pay a flat fee at the beginning, just like a click. So a lead or a click, what's the difference? And so we won, and then we were able to provide, you know, we were able to sell leads, and that changed things. Thank goodness. And now Legal Brand Marketing does a whole bunch of practice areas, and DUI is actually one of our smallest, believe it or not. Which seems so funny because for years, that's all we did was DUI. But you know, with COVID, there's
no, thank God we diversified too. Cause if we were just a DUI shop, it would be a brutal time right now.
I mean, we pivoted a few years ago, but you know, thankfully, or we would have been crushed. Yeah. I mean, I have, I've certainly fielded, some offers, for Legal Brand Marketing, cause the larger Legion companies, you know, want to acquire what we do. You know, we were probably the largest DUI lead provider for many, many years. We were the first DUI lead provider.
I remember. I was a buyer.
Yeah. And we maintained that position for a super long time because the whole industry knew who we were, and we had a good reputation. We still have a good reputation. We branched out. And so we are probably the only... probably the biggest independent at this point. We're certainly much bigger than we used to be. I think we have about 15 people on staff, and I know there's a couple of positions open they're trying to hire. Which is a lot of people for a data company, right? I mean, it's all software. It's just data that flows through our system. But you know, you need customer service people and account managers and sales team and that sort of thing. We're holding on, partly because I don't do anything anymore as it relates to that company. They don't, Darby, who runs that company, has been with me for literally 13 years.
I remember she was an early salesperson.
Yeah. She doesn't need me. So I try to stay out of their way. They have a fantastic team and a lot of experience. There are people, our biz dev, our VP biz dev has been in the space for, I think 14 years, almost as long as I have. Our head of sales, I think is something like 8 or 10 years as well. Really good experienced team.
As far as getting the traffic to produce those leads, talk to me about, I mean, it sounds like you're kind of hands off, but you have good people. Where have you seen that continuum go? As I said, it was very, very easy when you started. What have you done over the years to make sure you stayed relevant?
So it definitely has changed. So when we first started, I put up this massive site. I think it was like 40,000 pages, right? It was, and the, you know, not even very good pages. A lot of them were shitty content, but it was okay back then. So we would rank extremely well, particularly in markets that were not very competitive, right? So I could, you know, within a matter of a few days, I could rank number one organically in, you know, Montana or, you know, stuff like that. Things are different now. The evolution was after the easy organic rankings, we started buying traffic from Google, you know, placing ads, and that got expensive over time.
Yeah.
I remember when we decided enough is enough was we were spending $250,000 a month on Google ads. And we're going back, you know, more than 10 years when $250,000 a month was a lot of money.
Bought real clicks. Now it'd be like 4 clicks.
Right. And so, you know, we said, all right, we need to you know, this is not getting any better. It's only going to get worse. And so we pivoted at that point, went back to focusing on SEO. And then since we've continued to evolve, so a lot more partnerships. I started partnering with you know, various other publishers many years ago, and we've maintained that since. You know, we have partnerships with everybody that you can imagine that's in the legal space, including the big boys, you know, the you know, NOLOs of the world, internet brands, and everybody else. And it's worked out pretty well because we can kind of toggle the areas that we need and the practice areas that we need more easily, which is important when you have somebody that, you know, a client that comes aboard or leaves. And so you need to be able to kind of quickly modify so that you're not spending money that you can't recoup.
Well, actually, there's a wholesale market and a retail market. You know, if you have excess inventory, you need to be able to do something with it and making sure that you cash flow it appropriately.
Yeah. And when you have volume, you can set up those accounts, right? So if you have the occasional, you know, lead here or there that you can't place, you can't do anything with it. But if you've got hundreds or thousands, then you can set up these deals.
Right. Because they need you as much as you need them.
Right.
My favorite part as we get towards concluding this, I am always amazed at what you are up to. What are you up to today? What are the recent projects that are exciting you, and what are you working on? I remember back in the day you were very excited about the Interlocks and sci-fi. What is the focus today for you?
Well, where do I start? In the legal space or outside the legal space?
We'll start with legal and then we'll go outside.
So we're building a platform to find temporary, to outsource legal work.
Genius.
So there are a couple of competitors we think we can do better.
What type of stuff? Consumer-focused law firms or big law? Or what type of work are you looking to outsource?
Either, you know, criminal or you know, civil. It doesn't matter. If you need a motion written, if you need research done, you can sub it out by the hour or by the project and get a lawyer to do the work for you, whether you need the lawyer in your state or a lawyer in another state, which oftentimes, you know, you can use a lawyer in another state that, you know, literally you can find somebody that's unemployed or underemployed and might work for $25 an hour. And it's maybe just that, you know, 8 to 10 p.m. window that they have available after the kids go to bed, and they work for 2 hours and they make an extra $50 and they're happy. And yeah, for you, if you've got some overflow work and you can get it done quickly. So
the Uber of legal work.
Yeah. Right. So that's one of the things they're doing in the legal space. In non-legal space, I continue angel investing. I do a lot of that. I'm an advisor to a lot of the companies, and on the board of a few. I'm in about 30 companies roughly. I continue to buy companies, small companies, and roll them up, and hopefully sell them for more than I paid.
What are some of the your favorite angel shops right now, or most interesting maybe to the to our audience?
To your, you know, most of what I do is tech. So it's big data, SaaS, AI, stuff like that. So I don't know if it's necessarily of interest to this audience, because it's, those deals are not legal. They're legal, but they're not.
But as I've learned from you over the years, look what people are doing outside of legal, because, that's where the innovation's going on, and then see what you can, you know, bring back to the legal arena.
Yeah, well, that's true, and certainly there's a lot of technology that is applicable to the legal space. So there's a lot of things that lawyers can do to streamline what they're doing, whether it's better CRMs, better practice management, you know, better sales tools, SEO, you know, litigation support. There's, you know, a ton of that kind of thing that I see. And they're raising a lot of money, these companies. I just saw Disco raised a lot of money for litigation support, and some, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I think it was just this morning. The other thing that I am working on, I spend a lot of time on now is domain investing, which is where we started in this conversation. But my focus is premium oneword.com. So domains that sell for, you know, from mid six figures into the seven figures.
Awesome.
Do a lot of that.
I am always inspired, always pushed to make sure that I'm not being complacent after speaking to you. The gears start turning. You're like, okay, got to stop feeling sluggish and keep plowing ahead. But thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been a lot of fun and inspirational. I'm sure our viewers will enjoy it. You've always figured out how to be one step ahead of the curve, and it's just awesome to watch all the different permutations that this beautiful mind has created.
Well, thank you for the kind words. I hope to live up to them.
Very good. Thank you so much. Hope to have you back soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the SEO Insider with Seth Price. Be sure to check back next week for fresh insights into building your brand's online presence. Episodes are available to stream directly on Blue Shark Digital's website.